We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back. It is the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe with you. We'll get to Bill coming up here in just a minute as he's up in Wisconsin Rapids getting ready for the big Northwoods League game tonight. And we continue our look around the NL Central as the Chicago Cubs are really trying to figure out what their identity is. And maybe this is a ball club that should be better, but I think Bill is back. Hello, Bill.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Long way to run down to go to the bathroom. Here at the ballpark, you got quite a distance to go. So we are back. We're broadcasting live Wisconsin Rapids, and here at Witter Field, where the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors get underway a little bit later on this evening. And it's Gorman Thomas Day here, and we're going to talk some more baseball. We'll talk some Northwoods baseball coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Nick Schapkowski of the Score in Chicago joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline to talk some Cubs baseball. Nick, how you doing today?
Bill, Joe, how's going on, guys?
We are having a good time, as you know, like the press box in Wrigley. If you ever had to run downstairs to use the restroom, that's a long way to go. So you kind of feel my pain, I guess, here at Witter Field up here in Wisconsin Rapids. I wanted to ask you, though, about this Cubs team because, you know, the Brewers, if they get off to a slow start in this second half, it's kind of a question as to what direction they're going to go. The Cubs, they're stacked with veteran arms in the rotation. They seemingly have a very good, or at least should have a very good offense. They've got a lot of talent. What is up with this team right now?
Well, it's a team that is Jekyll and Hyde is how it's kind of been so far this year. Starting pitching, you mentioned it. Yes, its arms are great. They're great when they're available. Kyle Hendricks has missed significant time this year. A shoulder injury that, yes, he's back in the rotation and he's throwing again. But he only goes four innings the other day, his last outing before the All-Star break, because he was worn out, because he was tired, because he's still not back to 100% there. Cole Hamels has the abdominal injury, and the good news is he's expected to only miss the rest of the month of July. The bad news is that you don't really have that starter that steps in. It's great that Tyler Chatwood rediscovered himself and has been a solid pitcher out of the bullpen, but the times he started this year, he's had a rough go. Albert Alzolay, the hot prospect, the young arm in the Cubs farm system that was brought up, one really good start, one time he got knocked around the ballpark. So it's just one of those of extreme inconsistencies, and it's on paper, it's a great starting rotation, but it hasn't necessarily performed that way. And then the offense, it's very much an offense that some days it goes out, scores 13 runs, and that's great, but then the next 2 days it provides to put up like 3 or 4 runs. And that's been way too much of a consistency with this team the last 2.5 years.
The addition of Kimbrel, you know, obviously it hasn't worked out to the extent that I think a lot of Cubs fans have wanted it to right away. But you got to give it time. He's only thrown 3+ innings of baseball so far and hasn't had the most success. I think he's still kind of getting into his groove. But is that an area of concern right away?
I don't think so right away. I mean, you have to remember, kind of like you said there, it's a guy that didn't pitch with the spring training. They didn't rush him. They tried to take their time with him, pitching in the minor leagues and then pitching in Triple-A Iowa before they got him to the big league. But I think it's unfair to have the expectation that, oh, yeah, because of this kind of weird offseason and into the early parts of summer that Kimbrel had, that he's just going to hit the ground running. I think that's something by the time the going gets real important, we get into the dog days of August and get into the stretch run there of September, but there won't be any excuses left on that. But I do think that it's valid right now, at least at this point, of, all right, at least there's an explanation of why Craig Kimbrel hasn't been so much Kimbrel-like his first few outings with the Cubs. And I don't think we're anywhere near a point of it being a real concern. Now, if he does this as you get closer to August and that run into August and September, then, yeah, obviously that thing ends up being a very disappointing signing. I think it's way too early to have those returns just yet.
The offense, you had mentioned that. This offense, I thought, would be a lot better. I thought guys were going to have breakout years. They were going to get back to the back of their baseball cards. And, you know, at times, much like the Brewers, guys just haven't been able to put it all together. Is there now a lot of head-scratching as to why things have not materialized? And defensively, some of these guys that have struggled have taken it out to the field as well, where they've committed more errors than they did a few years ago. Has this become a kind of a snowball effect?
Well, I think that maybe part of it. Offensively, it's such a weird team and a hard team to understand, because you look at this, and it's an offense, and it's hard to find at least the guys that you expect to be good that haven't produced. Javier Baez is having another monster year. He's right there. He's not quite in Yelich or in Bellinger territory, but outside of that, he's in that short discussion of kind of your second-tier MVP candidates in the National League. Beyond that, Anthony Rizzo, a guy that's traditionally started slower and picked it up as the summer goes on, he's had a monstrous first half of the year so far. Chris Bryant, you look at his numbers, at least the back of his baseball card like you referenced there, and it plays out to be great. One of the problems with Chris Bryant and one of the problems with his team is that, one, it hasn't hit with guys in scoring position, and you can question how much that really, the value of that in today's game, so much teams are built on relying on home runs and that part of it all. But the Cubs also aren't getting guys in scoring position. They're not getting guys to second base, to third base, and being able to do much with it when the rare times that they do. And it's just a strange team to kind of take that all in at, because you look at it, and Bryant's having a pretty standard year by his what he's played out to be. Rizzo, like I had mentioned. Jason Hayward's playing the best offensively that he's played as a Cub, and by a wide margin. And yet you look at this, and Wilson Contreras has had a huge, monstrous first half, at least in terms of power. And you add it all up, and you look at a team that you're thinking, okay, so many of these guys are doing so well, and it's a team that's four games over 500, a half game up in this division, and you don't know if you're going to get the second half from Contreras, from Hayward that you had. But to answer your question defensively, it's a team that 3 years ago was a historically great defense. It was like they saving runs all over the place. Addison Russell, since he's come back and been playing second base, some really boneheaded decisions in terms of where he's throwing the ball and trying to make outs at home when there's not a force, and real poor decision-making on his part. But, yeah, the Christmas of this team, the fundamentals of this team that were so much preached and so much thrown in your face when the going was good in 15 and 16, it seems to have escaped them the first 90 games of 2019.
The Joe Maddon effect and not being renewed, kind of becoming, as he's put it, a free agent at the end of the season, how much does that factor into this?
I don't think it does a whole heck of a lot. I think that it's one of those of that, yeah, obviously it's going to be a storyline. The only manager to win a World Series with the Cubs in 108 years isn't renewed. Oh, my God, the success speaks for itself. But I think it kind of speaks more to modern baseball than it does to any part of, like, Theo Epstein or Jed Hoyer and company really putting it out on Joe Maddon. I mean, you look across baseball, and Alex Cora was making, what, under $1 million a year last year when he helped lead Boston to their historic run and their World Series. I think the Cubs almost look at it as the same type of thing of, all right, well, if Maddon goes and wins a National League pennant, it's going to be hard to justify not bringing him back. But anything short of that, then at least what this team's put together in terms of money that they've spent throughout the years and whatnot, then I think they can justify going and saying, all right, we'll go pay $900,000 or $1 million a year to a manager that's going to do maybe more of what we say and be even more analytically based than Joe Maddon is, and kind of maneuver things that way. I don't think it's playing into any reason the Cubs have struggled, but I think you're probably right that it's not necessarily helping anything either.
Hey, what is management when they look moving forward? I mean, is there, put it this way, when it comes to Joe Maddon, is there somebody else in mind? I mean, do they have somebody sitting on? I mean, we know Joe Girardi's sitting out there, and there was a lot of talk about him years ago possibly going to the Cubs. Is that the guy that they would then be targeting at the end of the season?
That's a great question. Anytime we've heard from Joe Girardi and he's mentioned anything of it, obviously his first words are, oh, I can't wait to get back in the game. I'm a guy that's made to manage, and he can't wait to tell you how analytically based he is and how much he looks at his numbers and all that and how much he loves doing that. I just don't know, based off of Girardi's track record and how things ended in Miami, and that's, I know that's a decade plus ago now, and then just kind of being a harder guy to get along with and pushing his way more, I know the Cubs probably aren't looking for a yes man, I know that's a lot often what's thrown out there of, oh, yeah, you just hire the guy that's going to look at the stat sheet and tell you, okay, that's going to decide all of my decisions. I know that's not ultimately like they're looking for that full-on stats guy or yes man type of thing, but I don't know if I buy in so much to the Girardi connection and the assumption that it's just simply him. Some people think that it would be possibly David Ross. David Ross has been working in the Cubs front office. He's vital in the recruitment of Craig Kimbrell and making him a Chicago Cub earlier on this summer. Some people make that connection and that link because of how much Ross, I mean, people said that during his career, during his last few years. Oh, so he's just a manager in waiting. I don't know if that's something that David Ross would be interested in. I don't know if that's something that, hey, the manager that you got along with so well, the guy that helped you and craft you the last couple of years of your career, you want to go replace him? I don't know if that's something he'd be signed up for. So I'm not so sure that name is known by many people of who the replacement would be.
Always good to chat, my friend. I think it's going to be an interesting run from here on out, but I think the next 2 weeks are going to determine a whole lot as we start to sit here and look for the trade deadline to approach. Always good to chat with you, Nick. Appreciate it, pal.
All right, Phil. Take care.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Nick Shepkowski from The Score down there in Chicago. He covers the Chicago Cubs, and that's the Cubs right now. It's been a weird season for the Cubs, starting off with the Joe Maddon story and kind of got even weirder after that. And then, obviously, they had some injuries. They recouped, and all of a sudden, they find themselves back atop the National League Central by a half a game. They're saying the same thing the Brewers are, that they have not played their best baseball, and look at where they're at. The Brewers are saying, look, we haven't played great baseball at all, and look at where we're at. So one of these two teams eventually, you would have figured anyway. Then again, you could always throw the Cardinals into the mix, and we're going to talk with our buddy Kevin Wheeler coming up here later on in the program. But you could always throw the Cardinals in there, but these two teams are kind of waiting for that 10 out of 14, 12 out of 16 type of role where they get on a little bit of a mojo thing, a mojo swing, and they start to put it all together, and then they kind of finally determine what they are as a team and what they are heading into the second half of the season, what they are as they head towards the postseason. But one of these two teams got to put it together eventually, right? You would figure. Nick Shepkowski joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I've been reminding you that this time of year you got grass growing, you're doing a trimming, you're doing all the different stuff outside. Maybe you're using a gas-powered hedge trimmer or whatever. Hey, look, with all of that in mind, I've been talking to you about the E85 or the unleaded 88 and the E85 for some time now, which you can go and get at the pumps at, say, Quick Trip or at Jets. And the Wisconsin Biofuels Association promotes all of that. We've been promoting that. But I want to also remind you that if you got a lawn tractor, a lawn mower, chainsaw, outboard motor on the fishing boat, whatever, don't be using the unleaded 88 or the E85. Don't fill them up with that because that's not really what it's meant for. It's meant for your vehicle. Anything newer than 2001, it's going to get you some better gas mileage and save you some pain at the pump. But if you're going to use it in a small engine, I wouldn't be doing that. Okay, we just giving you the facts here. Okay, just kind of keeping a real 100. Just make sure that you check it out before check out wibiofuels.org before you do anything like that. But the small engines, nah, baby, nah. But if you're driving around right now in your car and it's newer than 2001, by all means, go for it. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. And see for yourself what it is they have to offer. Hang in there, because as much as we're talking baseball, I got to ask you this. Just for those of you that are out there, and I know this is, we're paying a lot of attention to Brewers baseball. But are you kind of itching right now for Packers season? We are less than 2 weeks away now to the start of training camp. How bad do you want to see the football season start? I'll give you my opinion coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Cigar dinners, they are selling out all across the state of Wisconsin, and we cannot thank you enough for those that are willing to come out, support them, have some fun, have some great stories. We are going to be in Wausau, Wisconsin, for our cigar dinner event coming up on July 31st. We're going to be at the bar there in Rothschild. Also, then Ironwood Golf Course in Sussex, Wisconsin, just west of Milwaukee. Going to be there for a terrific event. There's going to be golf. For all one price, you get golf, you get dinner, cigars, drinks, the whole thing. It's going to be a blast. So hopefully you make it out for that one. By the way, you can buy that one without the golf if you choose to do so and still come out and join us because that one is selling really fast. Also in Chippewa Falls, August 15th, going to be at Loopy's High Shores Supper Club on County Highway X there in Chippewa Falls. So that one is selling quick. The one in Wausau at the bar, that one sold out. They made room for 10 more, and they just opened it back up yesterday afternoon after we had gotten off the air. So if you are going to come to any one of these events, you better get your tickets now. Go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. That is tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. And see for yourself, because they're a lot of fun. Bring some friends. Get a gathering together. It is going to be an absolute blast. Going to be an absolute blast. 855-830-8648. So, look, we all know that Packers training camp is kind of the start of another era in the state. Every year it begins a new chapter, so to speak. And a lot of people get excited about it. A lot of people look forward to it. They plan trips around it, you know, vacations around it. How much this year are you excited for the beginning of training camp in Packers football? How much are you looking forward to this? And I say this. Every year, I mean, the year that the Packers came out after they won the Super Bowl, I think there was a level of anticipation because they had won the Super Bowl. You're looking for back-to-back. You knew you had a good team. You were excited about it, okay? Really excited about it. Now you look at this team and you think, okay, you've gone through the firing. You got rid of, you know, coordinators. You kept Mike Pettine. He basically guided a burgeoning defense. With a lot of pieces that they had to kind of make interchangeable last year and still came away with a defense that was improved over the year before when you didn't think that was possible. You've got a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. They bring back Luke Getsy, a guy that was kind of a confidant, if you will, of Aaron Rodgers. He's familiar with Aaron and how Aaron likes to work and what he wants to do. You've got Mark Murphy at the head basically saying, you know, don't be the problem. Let's straighten this thing out. Let's get everybody on the same page. You've got a lot of conjecture and speculation about whether or not there's going to be a power struggle and coach killers. And I've heard all kinds of terminology thrown around out there about both the head coach relationship with Aaron Rodgers and vice versa. You've heard guys that are no longer with the team speak out, guys that are with the team that have spoken out. There has been a whirlwind of stuff that has gone on around this team. And we are now on the precipice, just less than a couple of weeks away, from finally getting to the point where we can start talking about football on the field, discussable stuff. So I guess, are you looking at this season with an eyebrow raised, or are you just salivating at getting back to Packers football? Just itching for it to get back and up and running all over again. As a matter of fact, there's a poll that's open on the 105.7 FM, the Fan account. If you want to check that out over on Facebook and on Twitter, but see for yourself. You know, I mean, go ahead and check off the boxes, so to speak, as to what you're looking forward to. Because I think when it comes to Packer season, and many of you probably can attest to this, you're just excited for it, for lack of a better term. Just excited for it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. Again, 855-830-8648. But how much anticipation, specifically when it comes to the beginning of the Packer season this year, specifically, are you looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to it? You can vote. Now, as a matter of fact, I was just sitting here kind of reading the poll online, and already 61 people have voted. 61% overwhelmingly said yes. Are you just itching for Packer season to get started? And again, I think it's almost a no-brainer. It's almost maybe a master of the obvious in the sense of it's a football state. People are just as excited about getting to Badger football, although the Badgers' outlook doesn't appear to be as rosy as maybe the possibility of the Green Bay Packers putting it all together and becoming better. But, man, oh, man, it just there's a lot of anticipation for Packers football, I think, this year. Over many. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. 4-8. Are you getting ready for Packers football? Mark writes in Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen, said, can't wait for Packers football to get here, but I got to be honest, I'm also a Brewers fan, and I want to see what the Brewers do. If the Brewers make a big deal or two that are going to bring in some arms and make this team better, it will give me a real outlook for the remainder of the season, and once we get to October, I'll be just as excited for Brewers baseball as I would be for Packers football. Count me in as a Packers fan, but I hope the Brewers are right there again. Last year was awesome. This one is from Zach. Zach writes in the Wendy's email inbox. He says, hey, guys, I'm a huge Packers fan. I do want to see the Brewers do well. Also looking to see what Badgers do. If they put the young kid under center, I'm going to be excited. If they don't, I'm going to be disappointed. Won't be watching Badgers football for another year. A lot of anticipation. Let's see here. Darren writes in the Wendy's email inbox, Packers by far. The Brewers give me something to do until Packers season gets here. Always love it when pitchers and catchers report an opening day, but after that, bring me Packers football any damn day of the week. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. Go to the poll question over there at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can find it over there. I'm also going to retweet it out and have you kind of, you know, answer it that way as well. But are you itching for Packers season to get here? When we come back, we're in Wisconsin Rapids here at the home of the Rafters, by the way, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters in the Northwoods League, where they're taking on Rockford tonight. You've got Gorman Thomas coming to town tonight. Be throwing out the first pitch with Gorman this evening. Looking forward to that. And they're going to talk about the history of this franchise. Going to talk about some Northwoods League baseball as their All-Star break comes up next week, as a matter of fact. Going to get into that discussion. All that is coming up live here in Wisconsin Rapids on the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We are broadcasting live here in Wisconsin Rapids. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders, a 98% success rate. Also, low T treatments, all-in-one weight loss program, but you can't do anything if you don't call 414-455-4451. That is 414-455-4451. Here with Andy Francis. He's the general manager of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, taking on Rockford coming up this evening. Gorman Thomas going to be in town. I'm here today and just enjoying baseball. Whenever you get a chance to have a baseball stadium and a baseball field in front of you for your office for the day, that is fantastic. Andy, how you doing, man?
Good. I appreciate you coming out today.
Yeah, no, hey, it's good to be here, and it's a lot of fun, my first visit to Rapids, so I was excited about getting into town last night. So give me, because there's some history to this franchise. You guys were with the Twins for a short period of time, and another was, what was it? Who else were you guys with?
Yeah, so absolutely. The Rafters came here in 2010, but previous, the Minnesota Twins had an affiliate here that was from the 60s to mid-80s.
Okay.
And then we also had the White Sox here in the 40s.
The White Sox. Okay, that's who I thought it was, because I see Cardinals flags flying down here.
Yeah, our owner, Steve Schmidt, he's a diehard Cardinals fan.
Okay.
As much as, you know, me being the Brewers fan that I am.
Right.
It kind of burns me a little bit, but yeah. He loves the Cardinals, and you see his little mark on the cross the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the Twins flag's flying, the Brewers flag's flying, and the Cardinals flag flying down there. I'm trying to put them all together as to what they all have in common. And obviously somebody in the ballpark likes the team. So I want to talk about this team here. I mean, obviously you guys are invested as a company into the Northwoods League heavily. You guys have Madison. You guys are also with the Kingfish down there in Kenosha, correct?
Correct.
So talk a little bit about the Northwoods League, because just from what I've seen in the last, I don't know, 3, maybe 5 years, it's boomed. I mean, the recognition now that is coming out of it. I mean, obviously, Alonzo wins the Home Run Derby. He played out in Madison, got a lot of recognition for that. But it's become, you know, we always heard about the East Coast League, but this is becoming kind of a hotbed of baseball.
Yeah, exactly. The big growth for the Northwoods League is based on the overall fan experience that we offer for the people that come into our stadiums across the ball, the league. Big competition is Cape Cod. But the league started 26 years ago. We've expanded from the initial four there all the way up to 22 now, and the expansion doesn't look like it will stop.
Right.
But from there, it's been a hotbed for a lot of good prospects. We've had over 220 people reach the pro level. We've had over 1,000 drafted and go play minor league baseball, and this has been the breeding ground for getting used to that schedule and getting used to that grind for that next step.
So you guys game tonight against Rockford, but as we look out over the left field wall, a huge expansion. Now, is this your project or is this the town's project? But regardless, it's going to be, you'll both will benefit. You're putting up a water park over there.
Yeah, it's City of Wisconsin Rapids is putting that together with Myron Construction. It was something that the community came together for, and the construction started just before the summertime, and it will go until hopefully ready for next summer. But that project is great because it should bring more people to this area around Winter Field.
Now, you guys average, what, a little over 1,000, 1,300 people, something like that, for your games?
Yep. Last year we did 1,389.
Okay.
And this year we're on pace to hit about that, hopefully even more with the anniversary season, as long as we finish strong.
Yeah. What is the record right now?
The record right now at over 500. Had a good first half, finished 23 and 15 there, and then we're off to a pretty good start, 5-3 in the second half.
Last night was not a good ball game.
Last night wasn't. Just one of those days where we've had, you know, the best pitching staff in the league, but you get caught once in a while.
Yeah, you guys got what was the final last night?
18-4.
Well, a lot of scoring. At least fans that who'd you play?
We played Fond du Lac Dock Spiders.
Okay, I was just going to say, I thought it was an in-state team. I wasn't positive. But overall, I mean, like tonight, do you have like a pre-sale tonight? Is there an expect for a Gorman Thomas night?
Yep. So on nights like where we have these celebrity guests, it's really what feeds a night for us, especially with the Gorman tying to the demographic for us here. You know, he played here back when the Midwest League had the Twins here. But we'll have 1,300 tickets sold already. We'll touch 1,800 for the night, and that's over a sellout for us, which is great.
Yeah, that's fantastic to have that many people come out. I mean, I've been to many of the different parks. It's always fun. Everything's unique, which is really cool. And everybody has really cool promotions tonight. Like he had mentioned, Gorman Thomas, the former Brewers All-Star, is going to be here this evening and hanging out and meeting people at Brewers. Is he signing autographs tonight, or what's he doing?
He'll be signing from the time the gates
open.
Or
is it just his bar bill is opening?
That'll be after, when he's done signing. But, yeah, he'll be here from 6:05 when gates open until about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
You guys have seen some new teams come in. Obviously, the Kingfish. You've had the Chinooks have come in as well. You had mentioned some of the teams that have upgraded. Green Bay upgraded their park. They built a new ballpark. We were talking about the Woodchucks, who put $3 million in a renovation into their park. That's the significance of the growth of the league, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's even taken it a step further with adding Kokomo this year and Traverse City teams. Kokomo has a great facility down there where it's turf, real nice. And then Traverse City used to be the Beach Bums, and they have a great facility there, and unfortunately are on a big win streak. I haven't checked if they lost last night, but they were at 18 games before yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, it's been interesting to watch it grow, but to see – now explain to people real quick, because I was going to say to talk about a lot of the youth coming into this market, but more so, they come – so when they get here, they're not full-time baseball players. You got to figure out what to do with these guys, where to house these guys, how to get these guys money, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, so these guys, with our schedule, they're playing 72 games in 77 days. Get them in, get them assigned to a host family ahead of time so they can talk a little bit there, and get a couple workouts in before the season starts, and then they're off and rolling.
Yeah, and then so you got the All-Star break coming up. And this season goes through, what, the second week of August?
Yep. Last game for us is the 11th of August.
Okay, and then you get into the postseason, obviously. Mm-hmm. So these guys are all mainly college players, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. All of them are freshmen through senior in college. We can sign high school, but that isn't as prevalent as it might be in other leagues, just because in our league, if you sign a high schooler that's going into college, you have to keep them for 2 years.
Really? Okay. So in addition to that, then when these guys get here and you talk about host families, kind of room and board is taken care of, but they have to then kind of fend for themselves after that, correct?
Actually, we feed them before the game and after the game,
okay.
So then the meals are taken care of when they go on the road.
They're stuffing their pants pockets full of sandwiches.
Exactly. But their host families take care of them well when they're not here, after games and things like that. But when they're on the road, we supply the busing, the home team supplies the breakfast, the meal before the game, the meal after the game. So really, at the end of the day, the only expenses should be if they want to do anything outside of baseball.
Right. And that is, how do they cover that? I mean, because are they getting paid? They're getting paid.
No, they're not actually getting
paid. I was going to say, I didn't think they were, because they're not paid players yet. They're still doing collegiately.
Exactly.
They can't get paid yet.
Exactly.
So, what is it? Just do they have summer jobs? Do they do something else? Do they find something to do while they're here? How does that work?
With the schedule itself, they're not really able to do anything outside baseball because they're here every day or they're on the road.
So it's just families or whoever kind of helping support the...
exactly.
their dream, so to speak?
Exactly. The goal is that they get a lot of reps here, they get some good time, develop, get in front of some scouts, and their expenses, for the most part, should be taken care of unless they, you know, wanted to get anything when they stopped on the road or, you know, like I said, outside of being in the ballpark.
I wanted to ask you about that because you do get scouts that come into these games. How many scouts do you get a scout a night, or is it just for certain games, for certain teams, for certain players?
It varies depending on who's in, and every season it's a little bit different based on the group of guys that you have. But for the most part, you see at least one or two every two or three games. It's pretty consistent for the most part because, you know, if they are in Appleton looking at some teams there, they usually go to Green Bay or they'll come this way. Or if they're looking at, you know, during the trade deadline, that's when we see a lot more pop up because they are in Appleton or they are in a different part of the state there.
Yeah. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. But I wanted to ask you before I let you go, and that is about tonight's game. So are there, for people that are listening, is there tickets available because it's like standing room only or what?
Yep, we still have some bleacher seats available.
Okay.
Definitely recommend to get them sooner rather than later because if you do walk up just before the game starts, there won't be a whole lot left.
Okay, there you go. Andy Francis, the general manager of the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors, joining us up here in the press box of the Witterfield Stadium. So we're going to go ahead and do a couple other things when we come back. Thanks for coming up, man. I appreciate it, giving
Thank
us kind
you.
Of the lowdown on all of this. I was wondering where the Cardinals flag, the Brewers flag, and the Twins flag all came into pass. So now at least I have a better understanding, so I'm not going to be sitting up here completely befuddled anymore. Thanks for coming up, man. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. There you go. We're going to talk a little bit more Northwoods League, but we'll get into some other things, too, when we come back. Also, don't forget Kevin Wheeler from down in ESPN down in St. Louis going to give us a lowdown on the Cardinals coming up here just after the top of the hour. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. We are glad you're on board today. Thanks so much, as always. We certainly appreciate you taking a listen to us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends that are bringing you our motorcycle ride from the Fisher House, Wisconsin. And they are presented by Bud Light, also Concordia University Veterans Affairs Department, and their services out there as well. Also, our friends over there at Sean and the whole gang at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. But if you want to join us on the motorcycle ride, Please come out on Sunday, September 1st. We do it for a very worthy cause, which, again, is the Fisher House, Wisconsin. And we certainly hope that, you know, you want to support those that are in the military, veterans, and their families, and help us do it because it's kind of the least that we can do. And not to mention, it's just a great time. It's a lot of fun with a lot of good people. And if you want to get more information or get pre-registered, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. The former Badger, Melvin Gordon, he wants a new contract with the Chargers. The running back preparing to hold out and demand a trade if he doesn't get one soon. Gordon let the Chargers know that unless he gets a new deal, he wants out, and he will not report for training camp. Tom Pelissero reporting it from the NFL Network. ESPN had the news as well. Chargers veterans report to camp on July 24th. Gordon would then be subject, obviously, to fines up to $40,000 for each day that he misses if he does not report. Per the CBA, but we're going to find out if he, one of the agents that reps Gordon, Demarius Bilbo, he told the NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport that the running back is serious and he wants to hold out. He said he's very serious. He worked his butt off, and the fifth-year option is a result of where he was drafted. It is what it is, but if we'd gotten a respectable offer, we wouldn't be here. But he felt disrespected. He's very serious about holding out. Gordon is entering his fifth and final year of his rookie contract, set to make him $5.6 million. Now he wants the security that comes with a guaranteed long-term deal. His 2019 salary is the 11th highest among running backs for the season, and he looks like at the list, anyway, sees a whole lot of backs used less and less and less, less than himself, who aren't as vital to the team's offensive operation and getting paid more. So he said, look, we received an offer. Talks have been dead, but we received an offer that wasn't fair, wasn't a fair offer based on what Melvin has done, and they felt it was disrespectful. So Melvin Gordon, the former Badger running back, now saying, look, he's not going to report if indeed he does not get a new deal. So we'll kind of follow that just kind of, you know, from the former Badger perspective, and we'll see if he ends up coming back or if he does get a new deal or something that's going to make him happy before it's all said and done. Here's the big thing. Once you get into the season and you start losing actual money, That's when it starts to really kind of hit home. That's when guys tend not to hold. I mean, look, Le'Veon Bell, he knew he was going to get paid big juice. Melvin Gordon, I don't think he's of Le'Veon Bell's stature, but we'll see what happens there. But we'll see. We'll see. Le'Veon Bell played his cards, and he came out okay. Not nearly as much as he thought he was going to get, but he felt like he proved a point. I don't know what Melvin Gordon's going to get before it's all said and done. 855-830-8648. If you choose to give us a buzz, that's the phone number to do so on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MillHockeyTalk line. Give us a call there, or you can find us over on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can also track us down over on Twitter. That is on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can find us there. Just an update, by the way, almost 200 people have voted, and the comment was basically asking, are you itching for the Packers season to get started? 56% of you, it's come down quite a bit. It was 61% early on, almost 200 people voting now. 56% of you have said yes, you can't wait for it to get going. 44% have said no. Now, my perspective on this is simple. I cannot wait to see what this new look Packers group looks like. I can't wait to see what the offense looks like. I can't wait to see what is going to happen with you know, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. I can't wait for not only wins, but also the first piece of adversity, so we can kind of see what the reaction is going to be inside 1265. I think there's a lot to this, a whole lot to this. But I'm also, I got to be honest, I love summer. And to me, when you get into football, football is a fall and winter sport. I'm not ready to concede summer that we just got, that just got here last week. I'm not ready to concede summer to football. So I know you got to go through August, you got to go through preseason, but let's be honest, once you get into training camp, for at least us that are kind of in the business, it becomes all-consuming, whether it's reading things, going to camp, trying to get into practices or what have you, and starting to cover that sport. Don't worry, you're not crying a river for us by any stretch of the imagination, but it does. It consumes you then for the next 23 weeks of your life from beginning to end all the way through, regardless of whether the Packers make it, but we'll be there for Super Bowl in Miami coming up this year. So there's a beginning of that season that brings a closure to another season. So personally speaking, I love football. I mean, that's the bread and butter of what it is we do. But in the grandest of schemes, it is beginning of a new season, and that season I don't necessarily look forward to. We just got out of cold weather and polar vortexes and rain and everything else that goes along with it, so I'm not by any stretch looking forward to that. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. Also in the Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen, Kale writes, totally pumped. I'm bringing the family over for the first weekend of training camp. Much respect for McCarthy, but it was time for a change. Looking forward to what this looks like and feels like. You going to be there? That is from Kale listening to us in Marshfield. We're going to be there. I don't know what day specifically as of yet because there's so much going on still in August. We have everything from, you know, golf tournaments and appearances and cigar dinners and such all over the state. We still do our tour. We also have State Fair we're going to get into coming up here in a couple of weeks. But nevertheless, yeah, we're going to be up there. I just don't know. And Mike Clemens, our NFL insider and from XM Sirius Radio, Mike works with us. Mike's going to be there covering it beginning to end, reports every day like we've done in the past. So we'll have it covered top to bottom, but it's just one of those things where I don't know if we're going to have what days we're actually going to be there. This one is from Aaron. Aaron writes in the Wendy's email inbox, I am pumped for Packers season, and I can't wait to see what the new look offense is going to bring. However, I do want to see my Brewers go deep into October and hopefully into a World Series. I would love to see the Milwaukee Brewers do well and make a big deal. Do you guys think they're going to put up any kind of numbers here in the second half by getting themselves another starter? That's a great question. I don't know if the Brewers are going to find themselves another starter. I think the likely scenario for the Brewers right now is that they will probably find a reliever or two. But if they do, and again, from everybody we've talked to today, don't forget, when we talked, you know, we went to Pittsburgh, and we were talking to our buddy Jim Connolly, or Colony, over there in Pittsburgh, a 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We asked him, they're looking for pitching. Mo Egger in Cincinnati from 1530 ESPN, they're going to be looking for probably a bat and pitching. Nick Shipkowski from 670 The Score in Chicago. Maybe some relief pitching, trying to get it all together. They're trying to look for additional pitching, maybe additional arms. Everybody's looking for pitching. So it's going to come down to who's got the best deal, also who has the most to offer when it comes down to that deal, and you want to offer things up without overpaying and being responsible still to your farm system and to your team for not only this season but for the future. So it's a tricky balancing act that David Stearns finds himself in right now as this team tries to press forward. Coming up after the top of the hour, we will go down to St. Louis. We'll talk to our buddy Kevin Wheeler from ESPN Radio in St. Louis. Plus, we have some buy or sell coming up. We'll get into that those five questions, as we talk some buy or sell coming up here in about 25 minutes from now. But Kevin Wheeler from 101 ESPN Radio in St. Louis, he's going to give us a lowdown on the Cardinals, who are also in the thick of things when you talk about this this race. The Cardinals right now 44-44, sitting at 500, 2 games back. They are +2 in the run differential column. They lost 2 straight going into the All-Star break. They are also looking to come out and get off to a fast start so they can figure out if they're buyers or sellers. They made some moves picking up Goldschmidt and company in the offseason, and it's somewhat paid off for them, but that team is not, much like the Cardinals or much like the Cubs and the Brewers, that team has not gotten on the run that they thought they would. So a lot yet to go and a lot yet to discuss as we continue our look around the National League Central. We're broadcasting live here in Wisconsin Rapids, Witter Field, home of the Rafters, as we got some baseball being played here tonight. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.